Chapter 1. The Age of Sigmar. Now. Vandas Hammerhand crouched in a world of light. He was alone, naked, bereft of comrades. Was he dead? Had the measure of godly power bestowed upon him been taken away? Was he Vendel Blackfist once more? The glow dimmed. Vandas straightened. He had returned to Azir, and stood within a quenching chamber. His sight took a moment to return. The light had been dazzling, and the chamber was now dark. First, he saw stars shining through an aperture at the apex of the dome. Then he held up his arm, and the starlight glinted from muscles larger and more powerful than those of any mortal man. His physique was still that of a stormcast eternal, and his skin was unmarked by the forge burns of his former life. He had not met death. Not this time. Relief rose in him, and he felt ashamed that he had feared his power gone. Power was what the followers of the Four craved, not the Stormcasts. For the warriors of Sigmar, there should only be vengeance. He thought back to Akshi, to his plea to the skies as he had stood within the arch of the Gate of Wrath. Sigmar had struck him down as he had requested, but rather than destroy his bodily form, it appeared that the God-King had taken him up to Azir, just as he had centuries before. He only hoped that Korgos Kul's realm gate had been destroyed by the storm bolt that had effected his escape, and that the battle for the Brimstone Peninsula had not been lost for his sake. Light of a different sort grew. Shining shapes resolved around Vandas, burnished plates of golden armor that orbited him in a stately dance. Vandas reached for them with a thought. Lightning leapt out from his skin to the armor plates, pulling them sharply into place until he was clad in the raiment of the Lord Celestant once more. A twinge affected him. Strange thoughts intruded upon his dressing. He felt there was a hollow space in his mind, as if in returning home he had chanced upon an unknown door and opened it to find an empty room pregnant with disquiet. Vandas shook the sensation off and called upon his war mask. The visor, shaped into the impassive face of a judgmental god, slid into place. Vandas extended his hand, and the hammer, Heldensen, crackled into being from nothing and clapped into his grip. The Lord Celestant raised his other hand and grasped at the night sky, pulling down his cloak of star silk from the heavens. Outside, a trumpet note sounded, high and sweet, a summons. Sigmar called for him. The doors of the quenching chamber peeled themselves back. Vandas stepped outside into a long curved corridor where many identical doors were set. Magical lamps burned with unchanging light in alcoves all the way along. Like everything else in Sigmaron and the Sigmarabulum, the corridor was beautiful. Vandas was met by Knight Heralder Laudus Skythunder and Lord Castellant Andricus Stoneheart, his friends and fellow officers, lords of the Hammers of Sigmar and its primary warrior chamber, the Hammerhands. Laudus hung back, his silver horn tucked under one arm. Stoneheart was of a more demonstrative character, and he grabbed at Vandas's upper arms and peered at him in wonder. His helmet was open. The battle armor, topped with Andricus's cheerful face instead of the blank war mask of the Stormcasts, made for an incongruous sight.
"Oh, you're alive then, lad," said Andricus.
He unexpectedly embraced the Lord Celestant.
"Good to see you, Hammerhand. We feared you lost."
"Sigmar promises us an eternity, Andricus. I was taken from the battle whole and unharmed." Andricus stepped back.
"Of course he does, of course. But we did not know for certain if you would survive the energies of the gate. You were snatched from the very jaws of the realm of chaos, and there have been—"
He shook his head, then forced a smile back onto his heavy features.
"What?"
asked Vandas.
"Why do you look at me so strangely? It is I, Vandas, who was Vendel, the Hammerhand. Come, my friends, what did you fear?"
Andricus and Laudus shared a look.
"Well, now's not the time," said Andricus. "There's much to discuss. We've been summoned again. How did you come to be here? You were not struck down.
We were fortunate to avoid the agonies of death, my Lord Celestant, said Laudus.
He was altogether more aloof than the Lord Castellant. Where Andricus spoke of his life as a peasant, Laudus had been noble-born. They sometimes bickered over whose existence was the more honest. What was not in doubt was that they had both been heroes.
We returned to Azir via the Realm Gate.
Well, the battle is won.
Oh, yes, son, said Andricus.
He had been an old man when taken. To this, he insisted, he owed his cheerfulness.
We've all been invested with the power of the storm, but my joy doesn't come from that, he was fond of saying. I'm happy to see clearly, to get out from my bed without the crack of aching joints.
When he had heard this, Laudus had pulled a face.
You'll never understand how it is to be old now, my lads, and be thankful for it.
Certain habits of speech and manner persisted from Andricus's prior existence. His custom of speaking to all as if they were years younger than he, for one. Vandus was half convinced Andricus did it simply to annoy Laudus.
Corgos Clue's armies have been driven back from the peninsula, said Andricus. His pyramid is cast down and his gate closed forever. More storm hosts arrive every day. Our territory in Akshi grows.
I must have been absent for days.
A week, my lord, said Laudus.
A week?
Sigmar's arts are mysterious, said Laudus.
None of us here know how long we were senseless when we were first gathered, said Andricus. Why should it be any different this time?
I must get back. Kul awaits me. I have failed to slay him twice. I will not fail a third time.
You'll have to put your own vengeance out of your mind, said Andricus. We've a greater task at hand.
We have been summoned to the palace. A new campaign awaits, said Laudus. The palace is all abuzz. Sigmar is eager for something. None have ever seen him so roused.
All the hammers of Sigmar are here?
All, my Lord Celestant, said Laudus. Those who fell are reforged. We are ready for war again.
They left the quenching chambers and came through obscure ways to the exposed surface of the Sigmarabulum. Once more it churned with industry. The quiet before their assault on Akshi had been but a pause, and now the magics and machineries there worked hard again, healing and remaking those warriors who had fallen. Sigmar's wizard artisans and their helpers hurried about. They paid no attention to the demigods striding among them. Such sights were unremarkable in this city of wonders. The Sigmarabulum gave off a nervous energy that had a man frantic to be about his work, and it stank of hot metal and magical discharge. However, its odd animus could not blot out the wider world around it. To their right loomed the sphere of Malus, the world remnant. It had swollen in the wake of the Storm Host's first victories. The metal was glutted with magic, and the surface glinted with an iridescent sheen. To their left, the heavens of Azir opened. Nowhere in any realm was there a night sky more beautiful. It blazed with stars of all colours and sizes, jewels set upon sumptuous cloths woven from nebulae. Rising through it was the celestial stair, a slash of bright metal climbing impossibly high, its top anchored beneath the high star Sigindel. A handful of Azir's many moons arced gracefully along their heavenly tracks, while the lands of the celestial realm slumbered below. Rivers glinted in lazy loops of beaten steel, and towns and villages were picked out by yellow dots of lamplight. Forests were seas of purplish black in the moonlight, and farmland an orderly miniature landscape wrought in silver. Vandus looked down on the land, and part of him yearned to enjoy its peace. He never could, that much had been made clear to him, but he could protect it so that others might live and grow old there. He did not resent his duty.
This way, said Laudus.
They approached a trio of small realm gates set off to the side of the main roadway in the shadow of a giant foundry, glinting with soft blue light. The stormcasts walked through this shimmer and emerged into a different place. Cool night scents hit them, and crickets chirred in the dark. They were far above the forges and factories. Upon the dark moon, Daroth.
The Sigmarabulum was forged in the shape of Sigmar's twin-tailed comet, two arms reaching to embrace Malus. This black satellite formed the head of the comet, and it was here that Sigmaron, the palace of the Heldenhammer, was situated. Vandus, Laudus, and Andricus emerged into the grounds on the path they called the High Road. Sigmar's palace soared above them, as wide and sprawling as any city, its many domes and spires gleaming by the light of the moons. They made their way through the magnificent halls and vaults of the palace. Even the meanest chamber was monumental beyond anything Vandus could recall from his old life. Every stone was perfect, every decoration of the finest craftsmanship. They took paths followed only by others of their kind. Corridors they must take, as ritual prescribed. Down they went, past the forbidden vaults, their heads resolutely turned away. Their oaths demanded they never look upon the vault's doors. So it was that his companions did not immediately see Vandus stumble. The strange sensation he had experienced in the quenching chambers returned redoubled. Vandus went down to his knees, clutching at his head. His mind burst aflame with visions. He saw golden figures climbing endlessly up a glacier of precious metal, battles upon bridges that spanned an ocean of bubbling silver, and innumerable wicked eyes glinting through a hole in the sky. He saw a two-headed winged shadow silhouetted before a portal of terrible power and a tide of demons. Holes ripped in the world's fabric split the vision, clawed hands and needle-toothed snouts pushing through until nothing remained. Light burned them away, and he saw the sigil of the twin-tailed comet upon a hammer that shone brighter than any sun.
My lord!
The hammer.
Vandus!
Gal Maraz. Vandus came to his senses, with Laudus Skythunder clutching his shoulders.
Vandus, are you well? What is happening?
Laudus was saying. Andricus spoke quietly in reply.
Oh, it's the same as with the others. The reforged.
Silence, Lord Castellant. Vandus has not passed the gates of death. I will hear no more of your morbid talk.
Vandus, said Andricus.
Recovering himself, the Lord Celestant looked to his fellows. Concern radiated from them both.
I'm fine, he said hoarsely.
He got unsteadily to his feet, pushing Andricus's hand away when he tried to help him. Once up, he marched on as steadily as he could, leaving the others to follow. Lord Castellant's sentries slammed their halberds against their chests as the three stormcasts entered the throne room through doors 50 feet high. Within were the command echelons from a dozen storm hosts, arranged in rows according to their rank and order, either side of a carpet, a night blue road that led from the doors to the celestial throne. Upon this, the god-king Sigmar sat, tall in his majesty. The ceiling retreated up and away. Hundreds of feet overhead, carved panels shone, and it was as if the assembled host basked in the light of many suns. Sigmar smiled broadly as Vandus approached. Andricus was right. Something had occurred. Sigmar's manner betrayed his excitement.
Vandus, my favored son, said the god-king. I am gladdened that you are here with me again.
Vandus bowed his head. He dearly wanted to kneel, to show his pleasure at being in the presence of his lord, but the god-king had no time for sycophancy. Before the throne was another Lord Celestant, clad in the turquoise livery of the Celestial Vindicator's storm host, and he was kneeling.
Thostus has discovered something, said Sigmar. All of you have performed well, my sons. I bring you here to share with you Thostos Bladestorm's discovery, and to set for you another task of great import.
The god turned his radiant eyes upon the kneeling Thostos, who had made no movement or sound.
Stand, Thostos Bladestorm, commanded Sigmar.
Thostos slowly lifted his head and looked around him. He appeared confused.
We shall kneel no more, said Sigmar.
He gestured, encouraging Thostos to rise. The Lord Celestant of the Bladestorm got unsteadily to his feet.
You are reforged, said Sigmar. Now, tell me of Chamon.
Thostos paused before he began. When he spoke, it was falteringly. His voice sounded hollow behind his impassive war mask.
There was a fortress of magic. We breached its walls, only to die in a burst of unlight that was fought by a greater light.
Sigmar leaned forward.
Speak to me of this greater light.
Golden, said Thostos with difficulty. Not the energy of chaos. Violent, but pure.
Sigmar tensed. A man who had undone the final fetters on his passions. Vandas realized then that the wait for the war through the long calm had been harder on the God King than it had been on any of the Stormcasts.
I remember it well, Sigmar said.
Lord Vandas!
Vandas stepped up to Thostos's side.
Prepare your warriors, commanded Sigmar. That light is mine.
He sank back into his throne and gripped the metal griffins on the arms.
We have found Gal-Maraz.
Sigmar swept his piercing gaze across the assembled officers.
This knowledge has been bought at great cost. Many of the Celestial Vindicators were slain and returned to the reforging chambers, victims of evil magic.
He looked to Thostos again.
Centuries ago, I was deceived into casting Gal-Maraz from me at the Battle of Burning Skies by Tzeentch. He has since conspired to hide its whereabouts from me. But long have I suspected that Gal-Maraz rested in the mountains of the Hanging Valleys of Anvrok. I'm sorry, Thostos, that I did not reveal to you my suspicions. I am certain you and your comrades wondered why I would send my most vengeful warriors to seek out old allies when their hammers thirsted for war, not words. I needed your fury there, in case the hammer was uncovered and needed to be snatched quickly. Here in Azir, my actions are secret, but out there in the realms, they are not. I could not risk rumor of my intuition coming to the ears of the Changer of Ways. Now you know.
Thostos said nothing. Vandas looked sidelong at him. Sigmar stood.
Warriors! Stormcasts! This is your quest. Go to Anvrok in Chamon and assail this fortress of which Thostos speaks. Destroy it, and return what is rightfully mine to my hand.
I had not dared hope Gal-Maraz could be recovered so early in our struggle.
With it, we might begin our war in earnest.
A rousing acclamation roared from the Stormcasts.
Sigmar! Gal-Maraz for Sigmar! Sigmar!
Vandas and Thostos shall lead you,
continued Sigmar, his godly voice cutting through the shouts of his men.
Hammers of Sigmar! Anvils of the Heldenhammer! Celestial Vindicators! Lions of Sigmar! 12 storm hosts shall I send. We shall crush the servants of chaos within Anvrok. The hammer shall be ours. Nothing will prevent our victory.